All right, so the water is very warm, and that's very good, because as we were talking downstairs just a little bit ago with the three young people who desire to be baptized tonight, there is no good reason for doing what we're doing unless Jesus told us to do it. Baptism is not something that men made up. Baptism is what our Lord commanded for His disciples. In the Great Commission, He commanded His disciples to go and make more disciples. And the first part of that was baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name, the three persons. Each person who gets baptized tonight is identifying themselves in front of you all and for the rest of the world. They are identifying themselves with the triune God of the Bible. They are in particular identifying themselves with Jesus Christ, who died on their behalf and rose again. And as we talked about, the fact that we are not sprinkling, which would require much less towels if we just sprinkled. But in identifying with Jesus Christ, they are identifying with Him in His death. They are buried with Him, and then they are raised to new life in Him as well. He died, He rose again in body, and so the baptism even displays that. It's a symbol of that. So there is nothing special about the ceremony in and of itself, or at least there's nothing that saves in this ceremony. All three of these people have professed their faith in Jesus Christ already. So it is faith that saves, and yet the first thing, or one of the first things that Jesus commands, is to be obedient to Him as a disciple in the waters of baptism. Miriam Bowers and Aaron Vanderbecken and Taylor Rothenberger are very excited, not necessarily excited to have to talk in front of everybody, but at least very excited to be identified with the triune God, with His Son Jesus Christ, and with the community of believers that we have. Of course, if you've been to some of our baptisms previously, you know that sometimes more younger people get baptized than maybe you're familiar with. We don't baptize babies at TEC because we believe that God's Word says you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. There is some sort of verbal admission of belief that needs to be given. Well, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So confess with your mouth. We think that they need to be at least old enough to make a public confession, a verbal confession, and explain the gospel again to some degree. That said, we also believe that baptism is to be that beginning ordinance. It is not to be a middle and certainly not an end ordinance. Baptism is what you do at the beginning of your Christian life. And then you are taught to obey Him in all things. Again, going back to the Great Commission. So, yes, we baptize some who are younger, those who are able to make a confession of faith. And we believe that it is then our job to encourage them in their faith, stimulate them to believe more and more as they follow Christ, rather than just keep waiting. You prove it, and then we'll let you show it to other people. That just doesn't seem to be how the New Testament describes baptism. In particular, in Romans 6, it talks about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? So a strategy for fighting sin is to think back to our baptism and to then ask young people in particular to fight sin without one of the weapons that God has given seems wrong. So again, recognizing that there's always challenges no matter what you do, we want to encourage all of those who trust Christ, want to worship Christ. We want to affirm that. Affirm their faith, allow them to declare that publicly, and then help them from there on out. Because None of us were perfect when we got baptized either, regardless of what age that was. So we've got three tonight, and I think you'll be encouraged by all three too. So first is Marion Bowers. All right, Marion. So can you tell me about your testimony, or can you tell me when you got saved? What happened?
So I was taking my afternoon nap, and I don't really sleep. And I remember that when I was at VBS, mostly at the end of it, I remember that there was this guy, and he said that he asked Jesus to come into his heart when he was 7 or 6 years old. And I thought about that for a little bit, for a second, and I thought, maybe I should do that. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I felt very good about it.
Okay, so you were supposed to be napping. But you were awake, because you're usually awake during nap time. Okay.
Yeah.
And you were thinking about VBS, so Vacation Bible School.
Yeah.
Then you heard someone talk about asking Jesus to come into their heart. And you thought that sounded like a good idea.
Yes.
Okay. So can you tell me, who is this Jesus guy that you were asking into your heart?
It was God.
Okay, turn around a little bit. So yep, there you go. Okay, Jesus is God. In particular, God's Son. Yeah. And what did Jesus do for us?
He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day.
All right. And I asked you this downstairs. You use a pretty big word. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of letters, but it's a pretty important word. You said Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So what do you mean, sins? What is a sin?
Lying.
Okay, lying is an example of a sin, yeah. Any others?
Being mean and doing something mean on purpose.
Okay.
To somebody else.
Good. Who tells us what is sin and what isn't sin?
Jesus.
Okay, where does he tell us that?
Where?
Yeah, like, how do we know today? Because Jesus is not living with us today.
Because...
Do we see it in the clouds? Is there a book that we have? Is
we
there...
have a book.
We have a book. Yep, okay.
Bible.
Yes. I just couldn't remember the name of it, so.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah. Okay, so in the Bible, God tells us that we sin. And in the Bible, does God say what the result of sin is going to be?
No.
No, he does tell us what the result is going to be. If we sin, what's going to happen to us? Remember, you were remembering Adam and Eve?
Yeah, we would die.
We would die.
Completely.
Yeah. So the Bible says the wages of sin, or what you earn by your sin, is death. And so go back to then what Jesus did. So tell me again, Jesus did what for us?
He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day.
That's right. He died on the cross for our sins. So if we believe in him, we believe that he is God's Son. We believe that he's our Savior. He's the sacrifice paid for our sins. Then we don't have to die eternally. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's really good news. Like, that's fantastic news that we don't have to die because of our sins, that we get to live because someone else has died for our sins. Like, that's really good news. Okay, so since that time when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and you believe all those things about Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, have there been any changes?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about some of those.
I felt like I could help my mom when she was doing chores a little bit more.
Okay.
And I thought I should tell Lucy because she doesn't like when Edie comes and plays and says that there are people in My Little Ponies, and I want...
She says the My Little Ponies are people?
No. She just goes, bah, da, da, da. I kind of like that, but not really. She doesn't go, da, da, da.
That's how I play it.
She talks, and then she She says, "No, there's not any people." And she kind of sounds bossy. And I want it, and I want to say, "Lucy, it's okay if some people can come in my little ponies. Let's just add it into the game."
Okay, so you're kind of, you desire to be kind to them, even like a peacemaker with your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then there was one other thing that we talked about. Even we announced it this morning. You were talking with Mrs. Hall, and what did you want to do?
Be baptized.
Be baptized, but you wanted to collect some stuff. You want to collect some stuff for who?
For people who are poor.
Okay. The people who are poor and don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So those three things by themselves are a lot. Because a lot of young people don't want to honor or obey their parents or help them.
They don't?
They don't. I know. This just in. A lot of kids don't want to serve their parents. Also, a lot of kids don't really have a desire to be kind to their siblings. We're going to hear Taylor talk about the fact that he was kind of a pain to his siblings for a lot of his life. And then a desire to give and sacrifice for sake of other people. That also is a sign of God's grace in your life. So that's great. Now, if we dunk you underneath this water and I bring you back up, which I'm planning to do, is that what saves you?
No.
It does not save you, but it shows that you are identified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want, right?
Right.
You want everybody to know that you love Jesus and you want to worship him and you want to follow him for the rest of your life.
Yes.
All right. Then, Miriam, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Aaron Christopher Vanderbeck, and I was born June 19, 2004. I was saved when I was 5 years old on the couch in my family's living room with my parents. Before then, I did not like church much. Now I love going to church because it is fun to fellowship and with other believers and learn about Christ and God's Word. I have changed from wanting to do other things to knowing I need to read, listen to, and study God's Word. I used to get frustrated and angry when things didn't go my way. Then I would haul off and punch something or someone, like my brother. Now if I am frustrated, I don't do that. Instead, I control myself and ask for God's help. I desire to be saved because I really want to be one of God's children and a part of Christ. I want to be baptized so I can partake in the body and the blood, have a public confession, and be obedient to God's command. When Mrs. Harding came to our school, she gave all of the students a card with a Bible verse on it. Mine had Psalm 9:1, and it said, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will count all your wondrous deeds." This verse means a lot to me because it reminds me of all that God has done. He saved me from my sin and helped my anger and has given me people to help me learn and grow in Christ.
Fantastic. Okay, so you said you really enjoy coming to worship.
Yes.
Fellowshipping with God's people. You want to partake of the body and the blood.
Yes.
And I said downstairs that sounded gross. So what do you mean you want to partake of the body and the blood?
It represents the bread represents his body and the cup represents his blood.
That's right. So you're talking about communion. You have not taken communion yet. So you're looking forward to that.
Yes.
Can you tell me why we care about Christ's body and his blood at all? Like, why Why do we like to remember that?
Because he died for our sins and rose again.
Yeah. So God took on flesh in Jesus. We're about ready to celebrate that at Christmas time. So God became incarnate in flesh. He had a body with actual blood.
Yes.
And then he gave that body on the cross as a sacrifice. He died physically because that's what we deserved. And then he rose again physically so that we could also have life with him. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to participate in communion, but you haven't participated in communion yet because you had to get baptized.
Yes.
Okay, so baptism saves you, and therefore you can take communion?
No.
No. Okay, so baptism doesn't save you. What does baptism do?
It is a public confession that it shows more than just one person, a multitude of people, that you are saved and you're a believer.
Yeah, you're telling all of these people that you want to be identified with Jesus.
Yes.
Aaron Vanderbecken is a Christian. He is with Christ. That's what you want people to know.
Yes.
Okay, so you're obeying Christ because he's the one who told us to do it. And you want everybody else to know that as well. So baptism shows that you're with Christ. It doesn't save you. What actually saved you? Did you pay him a lot of money?
No.
No? Did you have to take a really long trip and go visit someplace? No. Okay.
Faith.
Faith.
Not works.
Faith not works. That's exactly right. Because if it was something that you could do, then you could boast about it.
Yes.
So by grace, we're saved through faith, not of works, so that no man can boast. So we are all those who need God's grace, and we receive God's grace when we believe. So we believe that God is triune, Father, Son, and Spirit. We believe in Jesus, that he was God in flesh. We believe that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. All the things that you said, that is all the good news. And you believe all of that.
Yes.
And you want to follow Jesus.
Yes.
So I asked you downstairs, do you have more to learn after tonight? Or is like baptism the end? Like you've gotten to the end, you've done it, this is it.
It's the beginning, and we have a lot more to learn and grow in.
Yeah. So we get baptized, and then we continue in worship. We continue, since you're still living at home probably for a while.
Yes.
Your parents will be the first people who will really help you. And then the church family as well. Your school friends and teachers will all help you in your discipleship to Jesus. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, Aaron, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yo, I'm Mitchell or Taylor or Rothenberger, your choice. I didn't come to a realization of God until I was about 6 years old. I didn't put my faith in him until I was 18. I didn't get baptized until now, because I don't find getting up in front of people appealing. And I kept making excuses such as, I'm not ready. Those years in between my discovery and my confession of faith were filled with, yup, sin. Most of it was out of control, frustration, and anger towards pretty much everything, and to be specific, my family. I was not a good son or brother. I hated my family, and for no reason at all. I had many tests of will with my father, yelling matches with my mother. I beat up my little brother, annoyed the snot out of my older sister, hated my younger sister, and generally ignored the rest of my family, my younger family. My anger didn't show in just my attitude and behavior, but also in the movies I watched, the games I played, and the music I listened to. I claimed that none of these things impacted my life, but I couldn't have been more blind. The anger didn't feel good and was addicting at the same time. Every time I decided I was going to change, I slipped back into something that was more than a habit. I don't remember what happened, whether it was a sermon or a conversation, but something clicked, something changed, and I asked God to enter my life, as I had at least 5 times before. The change was very noticeable. Anger level started dropping. Instead of yelling and cursing and being hateful, I started approaching situations differently. My dad and I had many conversations about how to handle those situations, and I've also started mending a lot of relationships in my life, the most important being my family. And they are way better now than they were 5 years, 3 years, and even 1 year ago. The change in my life was exhilarating and calming. The months surrounding my high school graduation showed the most change. Not only have I finally gotten the guts to get baptized and publicly declare war on sin, I'm a lot more smile and a lot less bite, and for the most part, I'm clean living. I made the mistake of believing that I could do things on my own. Even after the first couple months of being saved, my dad and I had some conversations and came to a conclusion that baptism is commanded by God and something that should be done as soon as you become saved. I made the mistake of not doing that. It is also to be done in public. It is a public confession of your faith in God. The reason behind doing it publicly is so that others will know and that they will hold you accountable to your confession. I'm done doing it my way and desire to fulfill God's command. And this is to be baptized. One verse I have found to be of great comfort to me is Psalm 103:19, because it confirms God's sovereignty. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all.
Okay, so as a angry young man, fights with parents, disagreements with siblings, why not just, like, leave them, move out, go somewhere else, forget about those relationships, use the word mending. Like, why even bother with that? Relationships are a hassle if all these people are just going to be in your way. So why do you even care about that?
Well, first off, if I didn't care, that'd be way wrong, and I wouldn't be the person I am claiming to be today. And then also the Bible teaches us to value the family, and like that's the base part of society. There's only society because there's family.
Yeah, there's a phrase, I think it's Old and New Testament. It's used both Testaments, that talks about a sign of blessing is when God turns the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. And of course, God has turned your heart, not just to your dad, but to all of your family. And it seems like the direction that you have described was a direction away from them. And that's probably typical. I mean, it's definitely typical in families that don't have Christ. And a son that doesn't have Christ is also going to seek to get away from that. So the change in your attitude towards your family is a huge deal. It's actually easy to show up at certain spots and look good. The hardest place is the place that you are living the most, which is at home. And so for God to be changing your heart there, not that everything is perfect or that it's all smile and no bite. I don't know if everybody caught that. He said he's more smile and less bite now. And he said downstairs, God is still growing you in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, me too, after claiming to be saved for a long period of time. But that's a huge sign of grace. So if there was somebody out here tonight who was not getting along at home, who found themselves in a spot justifying their entertainment and how they were spending their time, who found themselves getting angry when confronted about it, what counsel or encouragement or counsel, yeah, would you give to them?
Turn the truck around. But it... Let me give that a little more thought.
Yeah, turn the truck around, works fine.
I would definitely encourage them to get into the Bible, especially in Ephesians, where it tells the children to obey their parents. And part of that is having a good relationship, because you can't obey someone you don't like. At least not with a good heart. So, like, definitely get in the Word.
Okay, good. Because I anticipate, I don't know how many would be here, but there are lots of angry young people all over. So it was God and His Word that made the difference. So how does a person get saved? I loved your answer downstairs, so that's why I'm re-asking you. You're trying to remember what you said rather than...
I said. Yeah. It's not really the person getting saved. It's God saving the person.
Yeah.
And along with that, it goes, like, we can do nothing to become saved. In other words, no works, but by faith and God's grace are we saved.
Yeah. So, and that was the verse that you quoted. That was what you said you liked about the verse, was that it emphasizes God's sovereignty. Mm-hmm. So in God's plan, He was not going to let you continue to drive the truck the direction you were going. But by His sovereign grace, He has interrupted your plans and your anger, mm-hmm. and turned it around. And that's great. And you've received Him by faith. So, Taylor, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's traumatic. Are they going to come back up or not? Is that His strong arm or His weak arm? Who knows? So as I said at the beginning, we understand that baptism is the beginning. It happens near the start of someone's discipleship, which means that none of them are done, just like none of us are done. And that means now it is all of our responsibility to encourage them and pray for them and help disciple as we have opportunity to do that. Obviously, not everybody has as close of relationships or path crossings with all the people tonight, but we can at least pray. We can be excited when we share communion, the body and the blood. Next Sunday morning, some of them will get to do that for the first time, and that will be encouraging to them as well. So let's ask God to continue to grow them and work in them, okay? The worship team is going to come back up. And while they're coming back up, going to sing a couple more songs. Everybody else can stand and let me pray. Father, thank You so much for Your grace, Your sovereign grace at work in the lives of Marion and Aaron and Taylor. Thank You for little faith. And thank You for faith that knows what is different, what's on the other side. The isolation and yet addiction that comes from anger, as Taylor described. Thank You for changing his heart. Thank You for working in all three. And may help us as a church body to be those who come around them in whatever ways that we can and stimulate their faith even more to love and good deeds. May You find us all continuing to grow in our obedience, our discipleship to Your Son. And we pray in His name. Amen.